It's been a while. It is May 16th. Let's roll episode 22 of the Gringlish podcast. Roll the intro.
I'm a Greek Australian. That's why I look like this, but I sound like this.
So it's been a minute. I've been busy. I've been renovating my apartment, which has been less stressful than I imagined. All my Australian family that, you know, has property in Greece always just complained about how difficult it was to do stuff here. It's really not that difficult. Pretty easy, actually. I don't know why they suffered so much, but I've had a great experience with Greek tradespeople. Affordable, did a good job. So far, pretty good. Pretty good, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what I've been busy with. Also been busy with a lot of bad health. A bit falling apart. My immune system is still shot from walking across the country. Who would have thought that would have such a long-term, or medium to long-term, effect on my health? Probably doctors would have thought that. There's a few topics worth going through. In terms of life updates, business is doing its thing. Health is slowly improving. Ice ended the March across Greece at 77 kilos. And within 2 months, 3 months, by February, I finished in December, early December. By February, probably by March, end of March, end of Feb, I was 9 kilos. So I really packed it back on. So a lot of what I've been doing is just losing weight again. So I'm back to 85. I want to get down to 75. Shredded to the gills. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, you know, this is all part of I talk about it a lot. My move to Greece, but also change in lifestyle. To basically, you know, a sedentary lifestyle, staying in one place. I've been in the same place for a couple months now. I mean, I've been in Greece for like almost coming up to a year, which is not easy to be in Greece. The government services, I think, is the most difficult part. But everyone's very nice. My building, everyone loves me. Sense of community, I guess you'd call it, is good. But you gotta have something going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a city of like New York, or Barcelona, you can have nothing going on and you feel like you got something going on because the city has shit going on. In a city like Athens, or Xeno, which is what I basically am, as Greek as I'd like to feel, if you don't grow up somewhere, you're Xeno, bro. Like, you don't have the community that you grew up with, friends, blah, 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 you know, people around that you grew up with, that you know. I have family, I have friends here, but most of them aren't Greek locals. Like, grew up here. They're Greeks, exotic, that they've come from abroad. But yeah, you know, that's slowly changing. But life changes, you know, they take time to become comfortable. So yeah, you know, it's weird to have, you know, as a young dude or as a young person, as a young entrepreneur, you want every year to be better than the last, like bigger, better, more epic. But this year so far, for me, I've done nothing. I mean, I bought an apartment. But like, I've just been in one place. Have I even traveled to another country? No. Well, what was in Austria when it started, but just stayed in one country. And as much as, you know, I understand that I wanted these changes, I want these changes, and, you know, they're part of my plan. It's just a massive change, you know, to not be traveling right now. Spring, for me, is always Barcelona. Almost every year in the past 6 years, I've been in Barcelona during spring because it's lovely there. But I know deep down and even just in the back of my head, I just know, like, I'm doing something right. I've helped people exit their businesses. Young people, young guys like me exit their businesses for decent money and they go buy property or something. Well, at least that's what they should do. They exit their business and they, you know, they waste the money. In what I would call wasting. You know, my opinion on spending is definitely different. As you can probably tell, I'm not the most materialistic person. I prefer experiences, you know, learning experiences, hanging out with friends and interesting people, and investments. and yeah, I mean, you know, all this change has definitely been uncomfortable for me. Literally, I've been sick from stress, and not just from stress, but, you know, stress hasn't helped. And not just that, you know, I've started a new business. You know, this content thing isn't just me having fun. It's a plan to, you know, eventually monetize. And on that topic, I've pitched my series, if you can call it that, the series that I've been doing on Instagram, Golden Greeks, History, News, all after that. I've basically pitched to a couple content production companies here in Greece, and there's been some good feedback, but, you know, nothing's legitimate until it's an offer and it's signed and paid for. But that's the thing, you know, pushing. I don't expect business, you know, any new business to start making money overnight. E-commerce brokers took a long, long time to start making good money, any money, let alone good money. So I've got to be patient, and that's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing as an entrepreneur, to be patient. You know, you want things crack-a-lacking fast. But yeah, you know, my future is in content. So I just got to keep turning the camera on, you know? That's what I always say to myself, just keep turning the camera on, keep showing up, even though these podcasts are supposed to be weekly and I've only done it, you know, every 3-4 weeks recently. But things are improving. You know, at the end of the day, like, this content thing, that's the thing, you know, in times of doubt, especially when I've been unhealthy, I think of, like, well, if I was to take an easy option, like getting a job, what would that look like? And I realized that's not even an option. Like, I just can't give up on myself. And that's what it is. That's why. I don't have this ego thing, to be honest, about I don't want to work for other people. I don't want a boss. I think everyone's got a boss, whether it's the customers, audience, shareholders. Everyone has a boss. And, like, I think that's a bad thing. Like, it means you serve people. That's not a bad thing. So I think it's just a matter of, like, I know what giving up is and not believing myself. And every time I even accept the fact that, okay, I'm giving up, I get to the final thing, like before the final irreversible decision, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm gonna believe myself. And I mean, that's like my whole story, you know, my whole story is not giving up and always believing myself. And, you know, you have these successes, then you have long periods of no success or many failures. Like, every post, every video that I post that doesn't do well, views-wise, is a failure. I mean, the point of making content is to get an audience for it, obviously. So if it doesn't do that, it's a failure. And the worst thing is, most of the videos that take the most production, like time, editing, and so on, do less views. Whereas some videos that are the most basic. I mean, I think the video that got the most views of mine was one I shot after a few drinks in the back of a taxi, just looking around the taxi, got like 3-4 million views. Another one took me 5 minutes to edit. Those are also the ones that don't get the most followers from those posts. But still, the things that work, the thing that works the best is storytelling. And surprisingly, about the things that I found interesting. So entrepreneurship, history, etc. So that's, you know, I'm lucky, well, I'm not lucky yet. I'm planning to be lucky, that I can monetize what I find interesting, which is telling stories about shit that I find interesting, history, business, and so on. So that's that. I'm going to pull up I don't have too many topics this week to go through, but I thought I'd throw a camera on and do a little episodio. And go through some of the topics that I've been making reels about. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up just a map of Athens, because there's been some major planning for big infrastructure projects in Athens. Now, as you probably well know, in Greece, planning and action are two very different things. I've made a few videos about it would be an exciting time to be a Greek or an Athenian. The most exciting time after 2004. Before that, okay, things were much better. But things are finally looking up. I've seen a few articles, international and from Greece, that are like, hey, you know, things aren't so bad for Greece. We're trying to pay our debts off early. I think the feel on the ground is there's a bit of optimism. There's still, you know, a thorough understanding that things are not great. But, I think in Athens, I think it's the best time to be an Athenian in the past 20 years. I mean, the past 20 years have been pretty awful, to be fair. So it doesn't say much. But in terms of, like, improvements to the city is getting much better. I only lived in Athens since 2018, and I live in Victoria, which is just here north of the center. So here is this triangle here is Monasteraki, which is, you know, the tourist hub. Then you go, as you walk through here, you go past Patia or Monias, and it's like you go into a new country, a third world country. And I say that as someone who's lived there for many years. And you walk down the street, and if you walk far enough, you get to Platea Victorias. And this is roughly where I lived. I actually lived here. I lived on the square of Platea Pantelimonas, which is pretty much known as the crime, poverty, the least good place to live, the worst place to live in Athens. And really wasn't that bad, to be honest. I didn't mind it. But also, I'm a young dude, so yeah. But that being said, there are slow fixes, like even in Victoria, like slowly the streets are actually the footpaths, which is, you know, no one likes the footpaths in Athens or in Greece generally. But the footpaths are slowly being repaved. Like, that is actually a new footpath, if you can believe it. slowly getting repaved. Everything's slowly getting redone to be, you know, at least usable. Small changes, nothing major. But, you know, to the point, there are some major changes in infrastructure projects in Athens. Now, the thing is pretty interesting. Like, if I looked at a map of Athens and I pinpointed the top five infrastructure projects that have been planned, that have started, but have been planned, and we were ridiculously optimistic and foolishly optimistic, might look good. So these are the top five infrastructure projects happening in Athens that could revolutionize the city. So number one, probably the least, the one with the least amount of change, if it even happened, would be this one. So here is Hellenic Defense Systems, right? EAS. It used to be called Birkal. I actually made a video about this. But essentially, it's an old manufacturing hub of Birkal, right? EAS, which is the biggest manufacturing weapons manufacturing company in Greece. They manufacture for the Greek army. Now, all this is, I mean, it's decently big. It's not massive, you know, but it's the size of a, you know, a quarter of a suburb. All of this, they've said, they've planned, they've, you know, they've cut ribbons, the Prime Minister's cut ribbons, to turn this into a park with a few offices, but not, you know, massive offices. Mainly a park. Because if you go on the street level here, and I think I have some footage of when I walk past it, it's just a wall, and it's disgusting, right? And it's all graffitied and everything. And it's just massive warehouses that I'm pretty sure are just empty and abandoned, because I don't think they manufacture. Yeah, so you can see how big the area is because there's no Google Street View in it. This is the front of it. It's just old. It's not used. And it's a massive blot on the Athens, you know, map. And don't forget, Athens really doesn't have that many parks. For 4 million people, firstly, this park here, a lot of it is hills. Now, it's hard to use a park or walk through a park when it's too hard to go up. And the access is not great. There's definitely not enough lighting. And it's also packed with tourists. So this hill and, you know, Acropolis Hill is not really a park that Athenians actively use. And don't forget, Kallithea, now Smyrni. Kallithea is the second most highly densely populated suburb in Europe. Now Smyrni in Greece, and I think third or fourth in Europe. Now Smyrni is like the next one. So this, the core density of Athens is actually here near the south. This area here is also extremely dense, not like just north of the Acropolis. This area here from Nikea Erialo, which is a massive suburb as well, and Peristeri, another massive suburb. These are some of the biggest suburbs in Athens. These are massively dense areas. I mean, there's so many dense areas. And as you go to the north, it's actually more affluent, wealthier areas. So it's actually a bit more airy. But in terms of parks, there's like this one here, which is near Victoria, which is, you know, not generally seen as safe, to be honest. I've walked through there. It's poorly lit. There is, you know, a bunch of crackheads, to be honest. This one here is a hill, so it's extremely hard to get up. This one, again, is also another hill, Likavitos. So if we're talking about parks that people walk through, honestly, the one that I know that people actively walk through, even Athenians will go to, is the National Garden, which is right behind the Parliament House. It's a lovely little garden, but it's also closed, you know, during the night, which is, you know, fine. But this is like the only usable, you know, frequented hill park in the center of Athens. The other ones up here, yes, Turkovunia, Turkhill. I've gone there. I've seen people there. It's kind of normal to go there. But like in the center of Athens, especially the center, there's like no park. We have platias, like this one here in Kallithea, but it's a tiny platia in a massive suburb. In a massive suburb. You have this one park in the most dense. That's why this is the most dense. Cabron, why this cardiologist break my balls? You have this one suburb, one park in this massive suburb. One park, right? This is a university which is closed off, and you have one park. It's absurd, right? No city planning, and this is Stavros Niarchos Center, which is of course private. And it's hard to even access because all this is, you know, not good. So they're going to turn this area, they say, into a park. Now, because I live in this area, now I can tell you they haven't started. I mean, it would be lovely if it was a park because it would let this area, you know, have somewhere to, you know, breathe and, you know, have some fresh air. But that's the, let's say, the first major project that has been planned. That's a cemetery, so don't worry about that. The second project that I think is worth mentioning is in Votanikos. So if we go to Votanikos, where are we? Here's Monastiraki. So it's around here. You'll see, you can recognize it by the massive piles of dirt. So this, I believe, is the area. Or maybe it's here. Hell yeah, it's here, my bad. So they're slowly developing this area, I believe, into another park. And they love to say the new green lung of Athens. Like, so Votanikos, cabron, I can't click on anything properly here. Votanikos, cabron, is the area that, you know, is going to be, it was an industrial area, and now they want to change it to a park, and there's going to be a new Olympiakos, Panathinaikos Stadium, and some new offices. That's actually under construction, so I can say that that's happening slowly. This is the area. I've seen this in the drone footage. So that's the thing. It's an industrial area. They're trying to, you know, make it nice up, turn into a park. That has actually started. So that's the second most promising infrastructure project in Athens. So there's one here. Sorry. Yeah, one here, one here in Votanikos, which are the two ones in the center. And then the next one, which I think is super important. You know, this ancient city of Athens was here. And the other ancient city in this area was Pideos. Like, this was the city of Pideos, right? Athens itself wasn't necessarily a sea city until this city was connected by the long walls, which kind of go along this road here. Two long walls that connected to Pideos, which made it, you know, connected the sea to the city and the center of the population here in the center of Athens, which meant that Athens could get wheat from Evia, and then also the Black Sea. To this day, we know that Crimea and, well, here has, you know, some of the best crops because of their rich, rich, dark soil. But yeah, they would get crops from the Black Sea. I don't know exactly where, I can't remember. And, you know, Amphipoli and Evia, and feed their huge city, right? Just like Rome was fed by Sicily through its port in Ostia. Where is that thing? It's like an octagon or something. There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hexagon. So ships would come here. I think the actual sea line was here. It would go into the port of Ostia, Lago Traiano, Trajan's Lake, and then go up the Tiber. They would be pulled by horses on the banks, and the grain would be pulled into the city of Rome, somewhere here, and then undocked. And at the start of the empire, the republic, the most of the wheat came from Sicily, and then of course it came from Egypt eventually. But I mean, Athens had a similar system previous, came through the port from all around its empire, and then went to the center of Athens. Now, this is the OG Thalassocracy, which means, you know, sea power, Athens. And today, the city is not connected to the sea. Culturally, infrastructurally, it's just not. If you're in the center of Athens, right, and you walk here from Syntagma, I know I go on about this road so much, Leophoros Sigrou, and you walk down here, firstly, you're going to, you know, have a bad time because it's super noisy, super unsafe. There's strip clubs everywhere. It's kind of gross and disgusting. And then you walk here and you can walk straight into the Stavros Niarchos Center Park, and it's nice. But then you'll go up this platform, which is usually cut off, which I think now is cut off. Last time I went there a couple of months ago. And then you go here and you can't go over here. You can't go west because that's cut off. And all of this, and if you want to cross the street here, forget about it. It's all chaos. It's just not connected well, right? So this area here is Falludo, right? And they're going to build all this here that you see is mountains of dirt, straight up mountains of dirt. This is the famous seafront of Athens. And between famous Pideros, which this is nice little harbors. This area is kind of weirdly abandoned sometimes. And then there's Olympiakos Stadium here. Between there and a very nice, I think it's because it's private, area of Flisvos Marina and the famous Averro ship and a trireme, the Olympias, is this disgusting area that I hate with all my heart. That's just an abandoned stadium. It's all gross. This is the front of the city. And it's just terrible. Again, Kallithea, the most densely populated suburb in Athens, their frontage to the sea is cut off by all these highways and bullshit, which they've said they're going to slowly put underground. And that's what you can see here. Part of the process is they're slowly putting it underground, which I think it should be completely underground, so that you can simply walk straight from the Stavros Niarchos Center and Kallithea straight into bays and harbors and marinas and so on, right? But right now, nothing's happening. They're saying in the Aneon project that they're going to redevelop all this. Again, I've been down there. There's been no progress. So that would be amazing. That would be crazy. I would love that. So we have one over here in Imitu, one in Votanikos, one here in the frontage of Kallithea in Falido and Moskato, and then, of course, the big one, Hellenikon. Now, update on Hellenikon. They are progressive. Of course, this is a joint private-public venture, and there's actually real progress here. You can see just by, I don't know how old this satellite footage is, but there is actually progress here. And from my balcony here in my apartment, I can see, actually, the building, which I assume is somewhere here. Again, this is old Google Maps footage, pictures. But I can see the new tallest building being built. I think it's somewhere here. And it's pretty cool. I can see the crane lights. It's crazy how tall it is compared to the rest of the city. So all this is actually developing quite nicely. And I really appreciate that Hellenikon is providing updates. Like, you can go into the website and you can see, like, within a few weeks of where they are now, how it's progressing, which is pretty dope, you know. We Greeks are so used to infrastructure projects going absolutely nowhere for years. So to see this on a weekly, monthly basis, it's kind of dope. So Hellenikon is progressing nicely. Now, to step back for a second. Lastly, this is the craziest and I think the least likely one as a fifth, you know, project. We have Imitu, we have Votanikos, we have Faliro, and we have Hellenikon. The last one that I read up about that's got no progress whatsoever, no one's even thinking about it, is a tunnel between the mainland and Salamis. Now, Salamis is has a naval base, I believe, and a shipyard for the Greek Navy. And I think the population really isn't that big. And right now, if you want to go between Salamis and the mainland, you take a ferry. And it's a very short ferry. I haven't gone. I want to go, actually, just to see what's in Salamis. Between here and here, right? So they want to build a tunnel, basically. I think this is a sewage facility on an island. I think there's another island that's a Refithusa. This is a natural gas facility. One of the few in Europe, let's say. But I think, what they've said is they want to build a tunnel somewhere here, a 1K tunnel under from the city to connect it to Salamina, which I think would be dope. I don't know if it's really worth the cost, because what's really moving between Salamina and the mainland? You know, I don't see how it's super necessary. If they built a tunnel there and then another tunnel here, which would be an even smaller tunnel, it would cut off a massive detour. Not to mention, you know, there's two roads outside Athens going west. Here and then here. If you built another one here straight under, if they built a tunnel between the mainland and Salamina, firstly, I mean a highway underneath it, basically, Salamina would get so many more people, tourists, not just tourists, but Greeks going there on their way west to the Peloponnese, to Patara, wherever. And then it would connect straight to this highway here. It would be, you know, much quicker. A third major way to exit the city, which is interesting. Again, this is one of those ones that I don't think is happening. Those are the major projects. Those are the five major infrastructure projects. And to see them all happen before 2030, I just don't see, you know, realistically happening. Even though most of it is just planting fucking trees, clearing the land, laying down some dirt and planting some trees, which somehow costs billions of dollars. Like, this area here, it's about clearing it, and just if all they did was clear it, lay flat dirt and planted some native trees as a park, this whole area, that would be fine. So much better than the way it is now. Again, the same thing for Botanicos. If they just cleared it, flattened it, and planted some trees and made some gravel paths, it would be so much better than the way it is. Same with Imitu. If they cleared all this land, laid some dirt, planted native trees, and made some gravel paths, it would be so much better. One park here, park here. Elenicon is, of course, going to be mainly a park. That would be amazing. I mean, it's just more green spaces, right? But of course, it has to cost billions of dollars and it needs to be a renewable and in Dumalakia, blah, 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 blah. So it's going to take a long time, if ever. But to imagine an Athens that has 1, 2, 3, 4 parks, well, of course, they're going to have some buildings, some residential, some offices, and some shops. But to imagine 4 new parks, decent size, not large, but decent sized parks in and around Athens, it would be pretty cool. It'd be pretty amazing, to be honest. It's much easier to build a park, from my understanding, than railways and roads and tunnels. So, like, you know, part of it's just clearing the land, cleaning it up, planting some native trees, and laying down some paths, you know? But who knows how hard it is? What the fuck do I know? But that's like what Athens could look like by 2030. Now, Greece obviously is on the mend, but we don't have ample money to spend, obviously. And a lot of the money that they could spend on the city or on the country is being spent paying off the debts early, which I'm not necessarily opposed to. But yeah, you know, that's what Athens could look like. This could be the future of Athens. Those are the major infrastructure projects in the state of Attica. But that's pretty much it, you know. Don't forget that most of Greece, where is that? Ah, that's Thessaloniki. Most of Greece doesn't like the fact that all the money and all the focus of the country goes to Athens, but half the country does live in Athens and Attica. So, you know, kind of sucks, but from a political perspective, you can understand why all the politicians put the money in Athens. But those are the major projects. That's that. That's really the podcast this week. Just wanted to talk about Athens. Yeah, super interesting. Super interesting. It's always interesting to talk and think about the future of your country, of Greece and Athens. So that's that. I'll see you in the next podcast.